This is The Light Inside. I'm Jeffrey Biesecker. Curiosity. It's often considered a core human characteristic and a key to inspiring both awe and wonder. In the face of anxiety and fear, it's often the perfect counterweight. We can welcome more curiosity into our lives by engaging more vulnerability and openness. Taking this step empowers us to rise above stagnant fear and crippled insecurity, to accept life's infinite potential with more confidence. Through curiosity, we achieve clarity, purposefulness, and flow, thereby connecting us to the joy that often accompanies our happiness. Today, we revisit this awe-inspiring conversation with jollytologist Alan Klein, allowing us to curiously open the doors of awe and wonder to inspire us to feel more joy throughout our lives. Tune in to find out how when we return to The Light Inside. Happiness is something we each aspire to, and according to the Dalai Lama, happiness is the very purpose of our life. Yet despite the incredible advancements of modern-day technology and society, for many of us, happiness still feels foreign, fleeting, and maybe even elusive. A recent Harris poll found that only 1 in 3 Americans claim they experience true happiness. Perhaps this is because the majority of our time is spent in unsatisfying work, repetitive daily routines, and nights passively engaging our idle time with often meaningless and unfulfilling activities. But we don't have to settle for unhappy interactions throughout our lives. We're all capable of welcoming happiness and adding meaning in our life if we adopt healthier attitudes and behaviors. Perhaps the most important attitude of all in this regard is curiosity, a state of active interest, generally wanting to know more about something, allows us to embrace unfamiliar circumstances, giving us a greater opportunity to experience both discovery and joy. Today we discover how to find more happiness and joy simply by engaging curiosity, awe, and wonder. Joining us is jollytologist Alan Klein. Hello, Alan. How are you today?
Hello, Jeffrey. Yeah, thank you.
So diving in today, Alan, you know a thing or two about experiencing joy and pain in life, eventually arriving at a place in life where you've come to understand the essential benefits of awe and wonder and how those can create such significant meaning in our life. As we dive in, flow with me a little bit here on the joy side. You were a set designer on the hugely popular children's show, Captain Kangaroo. Big influence on children in the, started what, mid-70s, early 70s?
Yeah, I think I was a designer, maybe earlier than that, because maybe in the 60s, actually.
Yeah, I was amused and, you know, I had a little bit of a nostalgia when I read that you were this former set designer on Captain Kangaroo.
10 years I did that. Yes.
What a wonderful run. You know, that had to be a truly awesome experience. That kind of comes into play a little bit. The show being conceived by Bob Keeshian and was based on this fictional character of Captain Kangaroo.
Right.
And Bob, as I'm reading back through and getting a sense from my perspective on the show's history, created this show based on the relationship between grandparents and children. Yeah. I'm excited at looking at just that angle today because, you know, I'm preparing to become a grandparent myself with awe and wonder.
Congratulations.
What will this new experience bring me in March whenever we have our first grandchild?
Right. Well, congratulations, because
thank you.
You know, seeing the baby laugh, looking in its eyes is like instant, it'll bring you instant awe and wonder to see that little, you know, I know I have a daughter, so I know when she was born, it was like magic, you know, just looking at her every moment of the day. And the funny thing with my experience, my wife gave birth at 10 after midnight. And we were in the hospital like right before midnight because it was a very quick birth. Mm. And I was very excited, and the nurse was wheeling this bassinet down the hall, and I ran after her thinking my daughter was in it, saying, "Let me see my daughter, let me see my daughter." And she said, "Sir, I haven't gotten your daughter yet. I'm going to pick her up. Give me some time." And so I was just so excited to see the first glimpse of this newborn child, which is, yeah, of course, one of the highlights of my life. And in fact, I had dinner with her last night. She's now over 50 and still my little baby, you know, and had lots of laughs together. And no one has heard this story before because it just happened last night. She revealed to me something she hadn't told me in almost 50 years, that when she was younger and I was out of the house, she took the dog to the corner store to get something, you know, ice cream or something. And she forgot, she tied the dog outside and left it there for many, many hours, forgetting to bring it home again. Luckily, the dog was okay, but she never told me that story. And so it was like, you know, what else haven't you told me in your life? But we have a great relationship. We laugh a lot. Since the beginning of COVID, we talk to each other every single day on the phone, even though she lives in San Francisco. So it's just a fabulous relationship. And I wish that for you to have that with your grandchild.
What an amazing opportunity to just sit back and look at what a treasure life can be, you know, how we can fill our house, our home, our workplaces, our experience with those treasures. You know, brings me back a little bit to this relationship with Captain Kangaroo. You know, Bob played a character that was based on the innkeeper at the treasure house. You know, what a concept. Filling both our literal and metaphorical houses with treasures. You know, so often we need to take that time to take stock to clear some of the clutter out of our houses in order to embrace that simple joy and awe. Yeah, I'm contemplating this because this show put a huge mark on me and my development as a child. You know, I can recall going back to that show time and time again and reflecting on the captain with his glorious coat with these huge pockets, these huge red pockets to be exact. You know, when I remember watching the show, I know earlier the collar was navy blue or another color, but remembering this big grand coat with these big pockets, you know, and thus these pockets resembled the pockets of a kangaroo, hence the name Captain Kangaroo. Right. You know, the captain throughout the course of the show, you know, he tells these wonderful stories. He meets all these wonderful people and guests. Interacts
Bunny Rabbit, Mr. Moose, Grandfather Clock, Mr. Green Jeans. You said as a child it had a big influence on you, but as an adult designing that show forever had an influence on me because I needed to see the world through the eyes of a child to design stuff. So a Bunny Rabbit was inventing a machine that to trick Mr. Green Jeans into giving him carrots, because Bunny Rabbit loved carrots, I was the one who designed the machine, right? So I'd have to think, how would a child do this, right? A child would maybe take a cardboard box lying around the house, go get a strainer from the kitchen and put it on, or, you know, draw on it or paste stuff on it, you know, ping pong ball here or something. And so what it did, it trained me to look at the world through the eyes of a child. And I think I've never stopped doing that. Yes. And it's why, you know, my first book was The Healing Power of Humor, talk about how to show people to lighten up, to get more laughter and humor in their life and more play in their life. And that all came, I think, from Captain Kangaroo. It came from an experience in my life. We can talk about that, but you know, looking back, it was all that having a playful mind, having a mind like a child. In Zen, they call it beginner's mind. So you see the world differently.
Those wonderful gifts, those wonderful experiences, how are we then utilizing those things to fill the pockets of our life? How can we then utilize that to be of service to others and bring that sense of joy and awe to our life. You know, that to me is the core of our conversation today. You know, you've been investigating the power of awe and wonder in our life and recent research showing how beneficial that can be. You know, you shared a wonderful TED talk on it about how our thoughts and intentions create our reality, how that sense of awe and wonder inspires that.
Right.
Such an excellent direction to explore with our listening community today. On that path to writing this book, you've had that experience of some of the more painful sides of that journey, having lost your wife.
Right. Yeah, she was 34 at the time. She had a rare liver disease and there was no liver transplants. But she had, Jeffrey, she had a great sense of humor. And even though there was lots of tears, there was also lots of laughter. Give you one example. She had a copy of Playgirl magazine with the male nude centerfold. And she said, "Hey, Alan, I really like this male nude photo. Can you put it on the wall in the hospital by the bed over there?" And I said, "Ellen, it's a hospital. A little risque for that." And she said, "Well, maybe you're right. So why don't you get a leaf from the plant over there and cover up that part?" And Jeffrey, I did that for the first day. It worked for the first day, worked for the second day. But by the third day, the leaf starts shriveling up and revealing what we were trying to conceal. And we would start to laugh. And I realized looking back, it wasn't a lot of laughter. It was 5 or 10 seconds. But it helped rise us above the situation, gave us a different perspective of the situation, gave us a moment's relief. And so after she died, I went back to school to learn about death and dying, to learn about therapeutic humor. Norman Cousins was talking about how it healed him. And I just became a hospice volunteer. Notice how people in serious situations, death, dying, grief, there was often humor. You know, people at funerals look in the coffin and go, "Oh, that person's never looked so good." You know, and so humor helps us get through those moments. And so that's why I started to write The Healing Power of Humor. And then I looked at, it kind of led to looking at the positive side of life, because when you can find the humor in not so funny situations, you're finding more positive stuff. So I wrote a number of books about positivity, which all led up to awe and wonder, because that, I think, could help us. New research showing it could help us be happier and less stressed out.
I feel it's essential one learn to embrace that humor in the often absurd nature of life. What doesn't kill us makes us stronger comes to mind.
Right.
Sometimes that strength comes from our ability to simply accept and embrace that situation and find some positive meaning in it, find some humor in it, like you mentioned, with that circumstance.
Right. And positivity has helped me get through so many, you know, so I'm human, so I don't always find the laughter in it, right? I don't find the funny stuff. But if I can find a little why is this happening? Down the road, maybe this will be beneficial. Looking back, the major thing, we talked about my wife passing away at 34, but not something I expected when I got married, you know, I had a 10-year-old child. Very difficult time, but I could not see down the road why this happened, perhaps. That, you know, my first book is now in a 40th printing, a 9th foreign language. You know, I have 30 other books. That would have never happened probably if my wife hadn't passed away, because it wouldn't have led me down that path. So looking back, you know, often we see, why did that happen to us? So if we can get closer to that moment of why did this happen to me in that moment, and find the positive, maybe there's some positive in this. Why did I miss that plane? Maybe this, a friend, I was on the phone wishing him happy Thanksgiving yesterday, and we were talking about, I'm finally going back to theater. I love theater. And he said he had a friend years ago. She was an entertainer on a cruise ship. And she said she was doing some hanky-panky at the next port. They said, you've got to get off. And they hired someone else to replace her. And what happened on the next, going to the next port, the ship starts sinking. And the friend that got the job to replace her, he said, was on a lifeboat for 13 hours. Mm. We don't know why things happen to us, but, you know, so if you can get into that, maybe there's some positivity in this negative stuff. Maybe that can help you get through. You know, if you can't find the humor, that may be the second best thing you can do. Try to be positive about what's happening.
Somewhere there amongst the pleasure and pain walks the sweetness in life. You know, to me, that brings us back to this more textbook description of what it means to experience awe. Let's look at that a little bit. You know, what exactly at its core does it mean to experience awe?
Right. So the dictionaries, if you look it up, one of the definitions, it's reverence mixed with fear and wonder. And I thought, I saw that fear and awe, I didn't put that together.
Yeah.
Then I remember when I was a little kid and there was lightning and thunder, I would hide under the sheets, you know, the fear of that noise and the lightning. And so, yes, and I was awed by suddenly the sky lit up in the middle of the night. So, yes, there's fear and wonder. Researchers have a whole other definition, and that is when you are like in the Grand Canyon and something is so vast that you could hardly realize your place in the world. You know, it's just, it's so overwhelming. It overwhelms you. And so for them, they say, researchers, that's fear. That's awe and wonder. I have my own little definition. It's when you get goosebumps, when you go, when your hair stands up, not my hair, your hair, but, you know.
I still get those feels, though. I still get those feels.
Yeah, but they don't stand up. So, you know, things that take your breath away, maybe you can go, oh, my God. Hmm. So I came up with my own little acronym of what awe is, A-W-E, a wow experience. So whenever you go, I think whenever you go, wow, you know, wow,
yeah,
that is an awe experience. So that's my very simple, basic explanation of what awe and wonder is, a wow experience.
That's a great insight to look at, you know, what's making you go, wow. And I know I was taken a little aback also with this notion of fear, because so often I feel we can process that sense of awe with kind of a jaded view, a kind of jadedness that hardens us to some of these other experiences, which might open us to awe. I'm looking back at the more back to the origin based root of the word. Rooted in such emotions as anguish, fear, grief, pain, struggle. You know, it's not the type of things we typically, as human beings, associate with being awed by, you know, not wanting to embrace. So, you know, where might we form that new awareness in order to embrace it with a sense of
awe? Well, you know, one of the things I think, and it's pretty much a myth, is that you need to go someplace special to get awe, that you need to go to Niagara Falls, or, you know, or top of a mountain. The fact is you don't. And, you know, it's all around us. And that's basically what I show in the awe book is that, you know, you just have to go sometimes out your front door, even in your house, you know, look around at stuff. I did a two-week class a couple of years ago where every day they gave us a prompt to go out and find something. And they told us what it was. One day it was a heart shape. Find everything heart shape and take a picture of it and bring it back to the class. So I went out and I came back after walking my dog. And I looked at the morning glories I had planted around my gate. I'd been out of the house several weeks when they were growing, not realizing that every leaf was heart-shaped. Mm. My front door was covered with heart shapes and I never realized it. And so that was like an awe moment for me. It was like, so if we can look, you know, really look closer, we might find someone. You know, we're always on the phone these days. We're on the computer. Put that aside for a minute and just look around at your world. I want to show you an iris that was growing in my garden. And when I look closer, look at the the lines in the in the petals of the flower, the color. I put it on Facebook and someone said, that looks like a dancing flower. And they were so right.
You know, it does.
If you stop for a moment and look for the awe, and I can tell you about an experiment that related to this, but if you just stop a moment, if you have that intention, you mentioned that I have a TED Talk on the power of intention. You put your attention to finding awe, like I did with the heart-shaped leaves, chances are you will find it.
When it comes to mobile service providers, with their high rate plans, extra fees, and hidden costs or expenses, many of the big name networks leave a bad taste in your mouth. Mint Mobile is a new flavor of mobile network service, sharing all the same reliable features of the big name brands, yet at a fraction of the cost. I recently made the change to Mint Mobile, and I can't believe the monthly savings, allowing me to put more money in my pocket for the things which truly light me up inside. Making the switch to Mint Mobile is easy. Hosted on the T-Mobile 5G network, Mint gives you premium wireless service on the nation's largest 5G network. With bulk savings on flexible plan options, Mint offers 3, 6, and 12-month plans, and the more months you buy, the more you save. Plus, you can also keep your current phone or upgrade to a new one, keep your current number or change to a new one as well, and all of your contacts, apps, and photos will seamlessly and effortlessly follow you to your new low-cost Mint provider. Did I mention the best part? You keep more money in your pocket. And with Mint's referral plan, you can rescue more friends from big wireless bills while earning up to $90 for each referral. Visit our Mint Mobile affiliate link at thelightinside.us/sponsors for additional mobile savings, or activate your plan in minutes with the Mint Mobile app. Indeed studies show that life is better when you're curious, with 4 science-backed reasons illustrating how curiosity will drastically improve your quality of life. Curiosity is the engine of intellectual advancement. Studies showed that those who are more curious about a topic tend to learn faster. Curiosity is something we all value in our friends. If they're curious about life, they'll show more empathy, offer advice, and make an effort to keep things fun. The study showed that those who were more curious found a greater presence of meaning and satisfaction. That being open to new experiences keeps your brain active and alert, which can be immensely helpful in developing neuroplasticity as we undergo aging.
So often, we don't fail to get out of our own way to just allow that space to be there, to be present with it.
Yeah, I mean, you can find it looking in someone's eyes, right? You can find it by looking up at the sky, the clouds. My mom, one of all moments for her, she was over 80, like 83, and she had never flown before. And so I met her at the plane. I said, Ma, how did you like the flight? And she went, oh, it was fabulous. You could see the tops of the clouds. And I thought, people that have never flown could never see those incredible tops of the clouds, the shapes, the colors, the sunlight off of them. So there is all around us. The story I have in the book that impressed me the most was about prisoners who were getting out of prison, and 3 of them, and there was a reporter asking them, what would you like to do? What are you looking forward to when you get out of prison? And the first one said, I'm looking forward to being with my family and hugging my family. I haven't done that in years. You know, that seems natural. And the second one said, I love baseball. I haven't seen a real baseball game in years. First thing I want to do is go to a baseball game. And the third one, and this is what awed me, was he said, I'm looking forward to opening the refrigerator. And I thought, what a strange answer. And then I thought, for him, that was something of awe because he hadn't done it in 10, 15 years. He couldn't get a cold drink. He couldn't make a sandwich. So even for him, you know, he found the refrigerator something of awe. So look around, yeah, even in your house. Nature is the number one generator of awe, but sometimes you just look around where you are, the street where you live, you know, and there's awe and wonder there too.
How often are we taking those things that are so commonplace to us in life for granted?
Right.
Yeah. Where might we shift that perspective to find that new sense of awe becomes somewhat of a challenge sometimes?
Yeah, well, one is we talked about children, but be curious like a child. You know, if you wake up in the morning and you just, again, intention, I'm going to be real curious today. I'm going to see what I can find that might bring some awe, wonder or laughter. Just have that intention. But I was in a restaurant. I had my dog with me. It was a golden retriever with a big plume tail. And this little kid, I'm not good at age, so I don't know how old it was, but he was pretty young, was fascinated with the dog's tail. You know, when it wagged it, the wind, the kid would laugh. He would try to grab it. Of course, the dog would move. He couldn't do it. The tail tickled its face. It would laugh. And I was sitting there thinking, how often does an adult, you know, get so fascinated and see the wonder and awe in a dog's tail? So if we're curious, I think that's one tip to get more awe and wonder and even laughter in your life.
Embracing that sense of curiosity, that creativity, exploration and observation throughout life allows us to see some of that absurdity instead of some of the cynicism we so often allow to cloud our view. You know, right. Going back to this stint with Captain Kangaroo, Bob had a great quote that he referred to often. Play is the work of children. To them, it's very serious stuff. As adults, we often lose sight of that simple reality.
Right. And we learn as adults. You know, kids learn. That's how they learn about everything in the world. And they play with it. And it doesn't work, they try it again and again. Or they turn it upside down or whatever. And by the way, I'm just looking at my picture. And there is like Tinkerbell. Do you see her?
Yeah.
look at that. The sun is coming in my window.
There's a glow behind you.
I know. Look at this. I can glow. Look, I'm glowing.
Take time to stop and notice the often undernoticed, you know.
Look at that. And this doesn't happen on every interview. I've done hundreds.
The light inside of you shining today,
Alan. It's the first time this has ever happened. Oh, wow.
I love that we can tie that in today. It's the light inside of you that's shining bright today, Alan.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, to stop and notice of things around you. You know, I as we were talking, I noticed that it's just like so fabulous, and I want to play with it. You know, it's like,
therein comes that exploration and observation.
Here, look, I can hold it in my hand. I'll give you some.
I'm coming up for it. Thank you very much for sharing that. Namaste. The light in me acknowledges the light in you today.
Right. That's it. Yes. Namaste. Yes. Yes.
That bounces me back again. You know, Bob was such a rich and essential source of quotable insight. You know, he had another quote that said, how crazy is it that there is an area so large in our minds, we can't comprehend it. So we simply call it space. You know, what are we cluttering up that space in our minds with so often that inhibits us from experiencing this kind of simple awe, joy, and wonder? Yeah. How we fill that personal space is so relevant to what we each comprehend.
Yeah, I think what he was talking about was like being here now. You know, being present. Yes. And again, that goes back to children. They are always present, right? They're right in the moment. You know, if a friend of theirs takes a toy away, they might cry for a moment, but then they go to the next toy, you know? they're so in the moment, and we can learn from them too, in that factor also. Yeah. You know more quotes from Bob Keeshan than I do.
I did my research today. I'm going to fess up to that.
You really did.
I was really inspired because, like I say, I keep reverting back to all of these wonderful childhood experiences of that show. And it kind of floated out of my mind a little bit until we made this connection again. I'm thinking, how often do we lose sight of these simple, wonderful acts in our life that can become so inspiring, that can create such meaning, that have that little golden nugget that we relate to? You know, I go back and I can remember some of those lessons of caring for others and being joyful and, you know, all of this sense of play that was in that show that still comes.
It was great. As an adult, I would be in the control room and I'd go, God, I didn't know about that. Or, look, I learned this today. You know, this was a kid show. So it was quite amazing. But, you know, talking about Captain, I just realized that I don't know when you're going to add this, but we are recording it Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
And I have a great story about Captain. And when I lived in New York, I would be the scenic designer because for him, Thanksgiving morning, because he was the MC of the parade every year in the studio. So I would have to be in the studio at 6 a.m. every Thanksgiving. And I guess I start feeling sorry for myself. Everyone's sleeping late. They're off work. You know, they're at home cooking. And here I am working. So here I am in San Francisco several years ago, and I'm watching the Macy Day Parade on TV. And this thought comes in my head. I was kind of associated with that parade with Captain, and I would like to march in that parade. This is just a thought, right?
Yeah.
Talking about the power of intention here. So, and also wonder, because it was a major experience for me. So I thought, but I had no idea how you do that. So I asked some people, they even work for Macy's. They said they didn't know how to do it either. And I believe we're all 6 degrees away separation from someone else to help us get what we want. So I put it on Facebook. anyone know how I can get to march in Macy Day Parade? And somebody said they don't. They live in New York. They don't know. Kind of an acquaintance of mine. But they'll research and find out. So she sends me the name of the person to contact. I sent him a letter or an email, and I said, this is why I want to march, because of my connection to the captain in the parade. And he wrote back and said, well, usually it's only employees or bands that we invite, or executives. But because of your story, you can march in the parade next year. And I did. And Jeffrey, it was one of the highlights, other than seeing my daughter after she was born, of my life, because, first of all, it was an experience of getting in costume at, 6:30 in the morning and then going to the parade site and standing there for an hour in the freezing cold before you march. But then when we got marching, all of that stress went away because one of the things we were told to do is to shake hands with people along the parade route. And they were all glowing. They were all just, whether it was older people in wheelchairs or young kids excited to shake the hand of someone, meet someone in the parade, even though I was nobody, and it was such a joyful thing that at the end of the parade, I literally felt like I was floating on air. I was just so high without taking any drugs. I was no longer cold. First of all, marching along and actually was running along. But in a way, it all stems back to the captain that you brought up for me.
To me, that brings that reminder forward. Be intentional about how you approach writing your own story.
Right.
Simply allowing that space for that awe and wonder to happen.
Yeah, and don't let anyone say you can't do it. You know, over and over and over in my life, well, you can't write a book, you won't find a publisher. Once it gets published, you'll probably never make your advance back. All these you can'ts, and I never list. I was kicked out of Yale Drama School. At 7 years old, I was taken to my first Broadway show, and I said, I want to be the person that makes those pretty pictures. I had no idea what it was called. So I went back to school and I told the teacher, instead of doing a book report, could I do a little scene about the book in a shoebox or a cigar box. And she said, yes. And I realized looking back, I was doing stage sets. You know, I was doing models, dioramas of stage sets. And then I got in Yale Drama School, finally, the biggest, best, supposedly best design school in the country. And it was a 3-year master's. And I was let go after the first year. And I was terribly upset. But I, you know, again, it's like, I don't know why this is happening to me, but let's see what happens. And I went back to New York City. I got in the union. I passed a very stringent test within the 3 years. And my fellow classmates was still at school doing designs for productions at school. And I was doing national TV like Captain Kangaroo, Merv Griffin, Jackie Gleason show. Mm. My designs were all over the world and they were still in school. So, you know, sometimes you can't let people say, even being kicked out of Yale Drama School, most prestigious design school in the world with a top-notch faculty telling you, you'll never be a scenic designer. Don't listen to people. Do what you want to do. You know, it's your life, folks.
I'm sitting here with my own sense of awe and wonder today because I had this innate sense that this one last quote from this amazing gentleman with the big red coat left us with, to be a writer, open your heart. You cannot be a writer with a closed heart. How are you opening your heart with awe, joy, and wonder, writing a story which offers fulfilling meaning to the world? Let's sit with that and allow it to sink in and resonate today. You know, then
who wrote that?
That's the wonderful Bob Keeshian again.
He wrote that?
Yeah.
Did you add the awe and wonder? Did you add the awe and wonder to that?
I was making that connection to me, you know,
wow.
That really, truly stuck.
Wow.
And how that point drives home so often throughout our story and the way we view life.
Right.
We allow that story to kind of become filtered and jaded to where we simply don't open to how we're writing it, how we're engaging it, how we're starting to see it with those new eyes.
Right. Yeah. And that's it. You know, again, you're reiterating beginner's mind, childlike eyes, the childlike wonder of the world. You know, and I was just thinking a lot of movies, it's like, yes, it's like they may call this something in writing, but there's like the struggle, right? There's the, you know, the difficulty, something happens, but it often the movie then progresses to how the lives have changed and how they start to see things are okay in spite of all of that. Yeah, that's a great quote.
Take all of that story, go fill your homes and pockets with that awesome sense of wonderment, then giving those treasures away to others. You have a great blog called 60 Seconds of Happy. You know, I love that. You know, 60 Seconds of Happy. How often do we struggle to find a mere 60 seconds of happiness in our life to sense that joy and be filled with awe and wonder? You know, what an amazingly inspiring concept that is. Where can our listeners go to reach out to you, Alan, and connect with all of those wonderfully enriching resources, including the book?
So the book is Amazon, any other bookseller, Barnes & Noble's, even their local bookstore could order the book, any of my books for them, major publishers, all of them. And then my website, www.alanklein.com, but you need to spell my name right, AllenKlein.com.
I want to thank you today, Alan. This truly has been a wonderful time to share with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And on behalf of Tinkerbell here, and one thing I always give out in my keynotes and workshops, so if people want to lighten up, get yourself a clown nose.
clown nose. So did you have a role in the Clara Bell clown?
Did I have a role?
Yeah.
No, that was growing up at that time. Yeah, I mean, I watched it on TV, you know, and you, Captain Kangaroo was previously Clarabelle the Clown.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. I had to throw that in there for my own accord today.
So. Oh, okay.
I truly want to thank you, Alan. I'd love to do this again soon.
Thank you. Great fun. You're fabulous. Thank you.
86,400. The number of seconds in each day of our lives. Within how many of these seconds are you choosing to discover something to be curious about? Then allowing the space for joy, awe, and wonder to fill you with the true sense of magic that is our being. Sometimes in life, we become so focused on the finish line, we simply fail to see the joy in our journey, to stop and appreciate the simple wonder in the world around us, and especially in those with whom we share it with. But there is hope as we simply take the time to pause and say, wow, embracing all the awe and wonder surrounding us. If you found value and meaning in today's show, please share it with a friend or loved one. And as always, we're grateful for you, our valued listening community. This has been The Light Inside. I'm Jeffrey Biesecker.